questions? Yeah. The name of Jesus. Yeah, the name of Jesus. I actually, if I feel I'm being tempted, I actually will say the name aloud. And then even I'll say, Jesus, I love you. So if the devil realizes that he's making me say, Jesus, I love you every time he tempts me, he's going to see it's counterproductive. So anyways, yeah. Yeah, they don't have gender, but you're right. They're almost always described with male pronouns. But strictly speaking, they don't have bodies, so they don't have genders. I think the idea of them as warriors probably is it's easier that you know that God has had revealed it that way. But yeah. She asked about yoga. A priest I respect a lot. He really does believe that yoga has origins in some kind of pagan worship, and that the phrases that are used for yoga are actually invoking basically demons. I don't know enough about it, and I don't know if you know. Anyways, there's a controversy about that. I don't think there's a definitive answer, but there's definitely some people who are saying that yoga is can be an involvement in the occult. Yeah. Good question. So Mary asked, if we are in purgatory or in heaven, since we still have a choice, is it possible for us to go to hell? We would have made that choice at the moment of our judgment and death. Whatever that choice is, it is a choice, in a sense, our will becomes fixed. So then we become like the situation of the angels outside of all time. It's at that point, it's a once-for-all choice. And it's almost always going to be related to all the choices you made in your life, unless you're a last-second, you know, conversion. You know, between the time your heart stopped and your soul leaves your body, that's still a possibility, too. But no, in heaven, you cannot choose to go to hell after you're in heaven. In purgatory, no, you can't. In purgatory, you can't choose to go to hell either. So, yes.
As a child, it's easy for your parents to tell you, like, be good so when you die, you can go to heaven. Or when your grandparents die, like, oh, they're an angel now.
Oh, Joseph asked if we become angels.
Yeah.
No, we do not become angels. Angels are a different species entirely. So when we die, initially, our soul separates from our body. But it's still a human soul, and in fact, we're not complete until we reunite with our body. So that's why we believe in the resurrection of the body. So we don't become fully ourselves again until the resurrection of the body. But we are not. We share some things with angels, but we're a different species entirely. Yes. I don't know it, but there is. There is an archangel, and there's a tradition about Uriel, and I don't know about him. Sorry. Yes? Okay. So Kim asked, when somebody has died and you feel their presence, what is that? I didn't talk about that. That's a whole other reality. So I do believe that it is, in fact, what we call ghosts. I do believe that there is some human souls interacting in different ways in life here. It could be purgatorial soul that needs your prayers. There could be all kinds of things, but I absolutely do. That's a different thing. Those would be human souls that are interacting in some way. It could be that the saints have come and appeared to other saints or other people too. So it could be a soul from heaven that's come. Yeah. Sorry, there's that corner over there. Yes, first. Yes, young lady. Right. Who tempted Satan? So, yeah. So evil is not a thing. Evil, there's only, God only creates things that are good. Evil is a twisting or deprivation of what's good. So in his being, Satan is still good in his being because he was made by God. But the will, if the will is really free, then the will doesn't even have to be influenced. The will makes a choice. The choice is, in this case, it was to obey God or not to obey God. And it doesn't require a prior temptation for someone to choose. I know we can't imagine why would someone choose not to, but think about it a little more. We do, you know, even without temptation, the idea of us being the center of the universe is still an appealing idea. The idea of even how great God is, it still involves a humility to recognize that God is God and we are not. And that was so. So there was no pre-existing temptation, but he had free will, which means he could choose evil. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So do demons, and they are this. The Satan is called prince of the world. So in some sense, they have an involvement in our earthly affairs, which is restrained by God and by the angels. They are allowed to do what they're allowed to do because God wants to bring a greater good from it. So he allows it so that he can be a part of our testing, so that we could exhibit virtue and that we can choose him. So they can. I don't think if it was up to them, they probably would manifest in such ways, you know, that everything would be Nazi Germany. But so they have some interaction here on Earth. Yeah. I'm sorry, say it again, I couldn't hear you. Oh, the Nephilim is from Genesis, and I don't think, official church interpretation of it. I've heard one interpretation that actually, they're actually not supernatural beings, but they're actually a certain line of human beings. If you go back and look at the text carefully, they might be a certain line, the descendants of, I don't remember which, not Shem, the descendants of one or the other of the sons of Noah or something like that. So I don't honestly, the more traditional interpretation has been that they could have been demons, basically, that produced offspring with humans. But I don't know. I don't know if there's official interpretation. Yeah. Well, what does saint mean? What does saint mean? No, it means holy. All it means is holy. Yeah. So it just means holy. So they share in the holiness of God. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. She asked about angels' knowledge. So angels could observe everything you say and do, if that's what their assignment is. But also, if you mentally choose to reveal something to them, they would know that. Yes. I assume they can read your emails. Anything that's visible. No, I mean, all that stuff. They would know a lot about you, right? Imagine imagine like an omnipresent, you know, I mean, but not inside. They can get inside the soul. Yeah. Okay, so Jed asked, someone came to his parish saying that her son was possessed. Was the son with her?
No.
Okay, so I would refer that usually to the clergy. That's one I would refer. But if there's a good charismatic prayer group around you that's well-formed, I would think, if they're well-formed, you could send them there for prayer. And there are sometimes people in those groups that are good in discernment. But ultimately, if it shows the signs, the indications of a true possession, you need to refer it to the diocese, and there's a priest assigned to do the rite of exorcism. But they have to exclude. If you read the book, The Rite, you'll see that probably 99% of the time, the people saying they're possessed aren't possessed in something else. So usually a psychologist will work and make sure they exclude natural causes for the phenomenon. So. Okay, I don't know the number. I know years ago, and this is the precursor to the book, that the Rome said that every diocese has to have at least one. So every diocese has to have at least one. That was the requirement. Some may have more. All right. Well, one more over there and one more back to you. Yeah, go ahead. The lowerarchy? Yeah, I assume there's a lowerarchy too, yeah.
So my question was that systematically speaking, the use of the nature of parallelism between the two, would you say that the demons themselves also have this kind of lowerarchy that the angels of the
I don't know, but it would seem that whatever their powers were when they were angels, their will changes, but their nature didn't change. So I assume there would be, presuming that it was different rank, angels from the different choirs that actually rebelled. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know enough about the tradition. So yeah. Sorry. Real quick. Okay. Angels are stronger in every sense. They are because they're united to God. So, they were, yeah. Well, we know ultimately, right? We know the story is the angels of God with Michael defeat them. But I assume I can't say necessarily that every angel is stronger than every demon, but I assume that God would make sure if God wanted something to be done, that He would make sure there was enough angelic presence there, more than one or whatever. So, yeah. Sorry, and you had one more question, just one.
Well, I would really like the story about the saint who was protected by the gray dog.
That's John Bosco, yeah. That's a whole other question on pets. the church teaching is individual. Pets don't have individual souls, but there's a new heaven and a new earth in which there could be, in a sense, dogs like your dog, or the species of dog, but not necessarily the continuous, your dog's memories. There was a whole thing with Pope Francis and that. But the thing is, it's interesting, but the angel did not become a dog. We would say the angel appeared as a dog. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for having created the angels, just as a expression of your own beauty and power, and your creativity. But we thank you, especially you loved us so much that you have given us the angels as our companions to lead us, to guide us, to guard us, to direct us. Please, may everyone here be more aware of their guardian angel, and be ready to ask for help when they need it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.